Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, official heating and a cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team today. It's Bish, EB, and JP. B. Mitch, who comes on after us with JP Finley, was out at Commanders training camp and had an interesting observation. We'll play the audio and then we can give our take on what he saw.
JP and I talk about a lot of different things. I want people to just understand. And there are times when we start talking about professional football players as if they're kids. And the fact that I played, I don't feel sorry for nobody, because you have that opportunity to go out there and do your thing. Now, if I see somebody doing it and killing it, but they just don't like you, I'll say something about it. But if I know you have exceptional talent and you're not producing it on a regular basis, whatever happens, happens at that point. That's the way I feel about it. And I watch people walk around like they're owed something. No. In this profession, you take everything that you want. You have to go out there and kick down the door to get it. And I'm watching dudes pouting and walking around sulking. What the hell is that? This is not Little League. This is the big leagues. And if you can't understand competition is going to be present and forget about it and move on and just go full speed every day, every play, every opportunity, then that's on you, because people get cut based off of body language. Okay? People get cut based off of body language. If I got two guys fighting for a job, one guy goes full speed every day, one guy's run the extra yard or extra 2 yards, the other guy walks around stomping his feet like a little petulant-ass child, like you said yesterday, okay, and you don't do the things you're supposed to do, I'm probably going to take the guy with the more energy. It happens.
Oh, who's he referring to? I'm desperate to know. Is like Dotson throwing a fit because they're bringing in new receivers? What's he talking about?
B. Mitch didn't say, but you naturally think of, first of all, he started off by saying exceptional talent and don't produce. So it could be Jamin Davis, could be Jahan Dotson.
I saw an interview with Jamin.
I got to believe it's the guys who were drafted high. And then let's think of the guys who were drafted high that haven't produced, that haven't lived up to their potential. Mm. And he's talking about competition. Yeah, but Diami's drafted in the third round. I don't know that to me, it's got to be one of those two, Jahan Dotson or Jamin Davis.
Dotson came to mind. I don't know.
And Jamin Davis is competing for a job right now.
I got to know. Is Brian coming in today? I got to know who he's talking about. But I saw an interview with Jamin, and Jamin, I thought, came off really well in the interview. He was like, and even, I think Brian even said in the broadcast, I don't think it's Jamin. Brian said in the broadcast how he had been keeping it. By the way, also, I think that Brian and Chick had done a great job in that first game. I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, they were good.
I would agree. And I'm not just saying that. I'm being honest. I really enjoyed them.
They were very
them.
Casual, having fun.
Yeah, they just did a great job.
Well, remember, they worked together on the post-game show for years.
Of course. But this is a different animal.
Yeah. This is just saying they already had that chemistry.
But Brian made a point of saying that he was watching Jamin, and then, you know, you could see Jamin making a few plays early. And then afterwards, I saw him being interviewed, and somebody at some point had mentioned that Jamin had basically said, I think Brian might even have said this during the broadcast, that he's been begging for someone to challenge him this way, that he likes to be challenged, like he likes this opportunity.
So then maybe it is John. Again, B. Mitch didn't say anything, but he prefaced it by saying,
is this yesterday?
Exceptional talent, but don't produce. So who has exceptional talent? You would think first round picks, right? Those are the most talented guys generally.
Yeah.
And then he talks about competition. We're not there at training camp to know who's sulking, who's walking around, but clearly Quinn has talked about competition for Jahan Dotson. And now they're bringing in Martavis Bryant. So maybe somebody like Jahan Dotson is threatened by that.
I don't know enough about
Jahan's character.
He seemed like another McLaurin type.
Yeah.
I remember when he was being drafted. So I would be surprised. But, you know, I mean,
Maybe guys change. But I would be surprised if it was Dotson.
Well, who else could it be? You know what? 800-636.
Doesn't necessarily have to be a first round pick.
It's fun to speculate.
What if it was someone like Mathis?
Could be. Mathis is a good one. He was a high pick. Definitely could be Mathis. You know what? Now I'm switching gears and saying it's Mathis.
What about Forbes?
Could be Forbes.
Remember, Linnell,
could be a lot of their picks.
Remember, Linnell had a tweet saying that Forbes got beat, and he says, it's all right, people get beat, but he kind of put his head down and watched the guy go past him after he got beat in the Jets.
But they just signed a guy at Dotson's position who hasn't been in the NFL for, what, 8 seasons, something like that?
Yeah, but he was on the practice squad for the Cowboys. That kind of counts. You didn't play, but at least you're practicing. You're in shape.
He was on the field longer than the other first-team guys.
Dotson?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Forbes is getting murdered.
Forbes is getting murdered.
Forbes is getting murdered in the media and by fans.
Maybe it could be Forbes. Exceptional talent. I mean, does Forbes have exceptional talent?
He might. I bet his measurables, other than strength, are not horrible.
800-636-1067. If you want to play the
pouting.
Guess who B. Mitch is talking about
who
game.
Who B. Mitch talking about? I'm going to find out, but it's fun to speculate. Who else could it be?
It's not a great thing to hear, though, because you would want all of your talented players to work really hard and have better body language. That's not a great thing to hear. I would guess that is outside the norm for Dan Quinn's training.
Oh, he's not going to tolerate that kind of stuff. By the way, one of the things that everyone loved most, I mean, a lot of people talked about, was the energy on the sideline.
Right.
Right, and everybody made a big deal about when Tress made the tackle and how nutty everybody on the sideline went.
Mm-hmm.
It did feel different. And, you know, I do think that the team took on Ron's persona over the last few years. That's why they were so effing flat, because Ron had no freaking energy. I mean, at one point,
yeah, it's not like Ron would pump him up.
At some point, Ron was like firing rocks at the chalkboard or at the wall.
He didn't show it on the sidelines.
But, man, during games, he was so brutal.
You did name three candidates, though, of high draft picks who have been underwhelming.
All their draft picks are sucking.
Like, except for Sam Cosmi.
Cosmi's been good.
Cosmi's the one hit.
Well, listen, Mathis.
But
Mathis
you never know when he's
going to play. Being cut. So that's a
I think
huge
Mathis,
candidate.
I think Mathis has already
I think
been,
Davis is, too.
I think Mathis has already slipped in the depth chart.
Mathis is way down there. He's way down there. No, I'm telling you, I think Jameis.
But I don't know. But B. Mitch saying that. It is someone with exceptional talent. I don't know if Mathis has
I think they've been pleased
talent.
With what they've seen with Jameis. In fact, J.P. Finley and I were talking about it, and J.P. is kind of like, he's saying he might be coming over to my side on it. He said, He says, I think the coaches like Jameis more than people realize. That was Finley's. He sent me that text 2 days ago. I don't know. I don't think it's Jameis. I think it's Dotson. Dotson might be pouting because he's playing in the third
that
quarter.
Would tell.
He wants to be a silly on the sideline with all his boys, and he's out there in the third quarter playing.
They're now sending him a message.
Now they bring in Martavis.
Yep.
Martavis, however you say his name.
If I'm B. Mitch, I don't know if I'm telling you, Eric.
I know that'll be out in like 2 seconds.
I know.
He'll tell me. I won't say it.
You got a blabber mouth.
You just say off the record.
I know. I don't have a blabber mouth. You have to. If you tell me not to say it,
off the
and
rack.
I hear you, I won't say it.
He qualified it, and I hear
if
you.
If I have to process,
yeah. I hear you say it.
I would never intentionally violate a trust. I'll be honest.
I don't think it's intentional, but sometimes
might forget.
Like you go in on, like we give you nuggets, or someone gives you nuggets. You go in on that person because of the nuggets. It's you can definitely connect the dots.
I can't tell you how many times you've done that, or you'll say on the air, Drab, can I say this now? I'm going to say this.
He's the leader in the clubhouse.
I'm not going to violate a trust on purpose. I might forget that somebody told me not to say, but I'm not going to violate a trust on purpose. I tell you. All right, let's go to, who is this? His name is Little? What kind of guy's name is Little?
It's his last name, so I let it slide.
All right.
Hey, Mr. Little.
What's up?
What's going on, Junk? Hey, man, look, man, I'm going to share a story with y'all, man.
All right.
The kid was spoiled, man, when he came to this team, man, out of Penn State.
Nice.
The kid, man, was exceptional running punts when he was in college. He should have raised his hands up just to get up on the field from the beginning. But they spoiled the kid, man. But I'm going to share a story.
All right.
And maybe I hope this kid is listening.
All right.
I was 17, 18 years old, man. Theismann was playing behind Kilmer and Sonny.
Right.
Man, Theismann raised his hand to go up and take a punt.
Right.
And get on the field. That's right. How he was pressured. I was selling beer. I had to put my case of beer down and say, man, I can't believe this. Theismann going back to take a punt.
Right.
Just to get on the field. So, kid, if you listening, man, you got to get out of that spoiled demeanor, man, and show your talent.
Who, Jahan?
Raise your hand,
yeah, he's
man.
Talking about Dotson.
Yeah, but Dotson's been playing. Yeah. He's been playing. Yeah, he's starting. He's been.
He ran the punt. No. When he was at Penn State, he was exceptional running punts.
Right.
People know that he was pretty good as a wide receiver, but he showed his plan. He showed his talent as a punt returner.
All right.
But see, Ron and them spoiled him. They should have sent him right out there. Look, kid, we need you to go back there and run some punts because we were struggling with that kid we had back there taking punts at the time.
Right.
Hey, look, man, God bless you. I want to share that story. Theismann took the field, man, just to get on the field.
Right. Thank
you. A two-time Super Bowl quarterback.
No, well, I hear you. Man. That's kind of legendary.
The majority, if not all, coaches aren't going to have their number two receiver returning punts.
Probably not. And I don't think he could complain about playing time. He's been playing.
Yeah, he's number two receiver.
Yeah. Now, it's a little bit in question right now. Maybe he is moping around. I feel like when we interviewed him, he was just like this charming, like great, awesome kid.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a bad read.
Maybe he was a Ron guy.
So he's upset that Ron's not here? I can't imagine
that. He was a Bieniemy guy. Your favorites.
Nah. I feel like he was... He wasn't like an army kid, right? Remember how Ron liked all those like military
guys, background.
Military
Jamin's,
kids.
Jamin came from a military household.
Yeah. Am I wrong? I'm not saying he is, but I felt like Jahan just came off as like a McLaurin type.
Yeah,
just like an awesome person.
I would be surprised if Dotson's moping around on the field.
Do the math.
I know.
All of a sudden,
Bryant's coming in.
You're playing. Like, think about it. Think about how much your ego is involved in this. Okay, so it's the third and fourth quarter of a preseason game. First preseason game. All your boys are in t-shirts, talking to B. Mitch and Chick on the sideline, and your ass is out there with guys that are going to be driving trucks in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you're a former first round pick.
And they bring in a guy.
And now
to do your job.
I hadn't been in the league in 6 years.
Jason, how would you feel they brought in a fifth junkie?
They might, I'd say, they're doing it because JP's struggling. Okay, maybe it could be.
I'm just trying
to be Diami. It could be Diami, too, because Bryant is threatening Diami's job, too.
Yeah, but Diami's been good. And they've been praising Diami's like work ethic.
Yeah, they seem happy with what Diami's doing. Diami seems to be responding to stuff.
Were they
that they're
playing
doing
Diami in a third and fourth quarter? I mean,
I don't know. I think Diami would be happy to be playing in the third and fourth quarter, right? I kind of get that sense. Diami needs to showcase what he can do to the team.
He needs all the opportunities he can get.
Well, man, I just want to know now.
I know.
Let's take another call.
Sure.
Hey, yeah. Drabby's got to answer him first. He put the name up, and then we'll go to him.
Does he have a guess?
I'm trying. It's not like. It's not like John Allen. I was reading something the other day where somebody referred to John as like a malcontent the last couple of years. You know, John's been kind of a little grumpy. They're saying he's totally different this year. He's totally buying in. You saw him giving that little
pregame
speech.
Yeah, he had that brief moment where he wasn't answering whether he wanted to be back here or not because he's sick of losing.
Right. Let's go to Will in Springfield. Will, what's up?
What's going on, guys? How you doing? Love the show.
Thanks, man.
What's up?
I honestly do think it's Jahan as well. Love the last call as well. I think it's Jahan just because I think Diami Brown took his catch the other night, and I think he's moping around because of that. Love to hear what you guys got to say about that. Thank you.
Well, I think, I mean, I'm just doing the math.
Well, hopefully he produces. The it seems as if the coaches are putting some pressure on Jahan. He got more snaps, which was out of the norm. Dan Quinn talked about competition. Mm. So what you would hope is that he emerges from the competition and starts showing flashes.
For whatever it's worth, he was one of the standout guys, they say, yesterday, made plays. For whatever it's worth, in practice. From one of the reports. But it was like an offensive day. The offensive guys were having a day. Zach Ertz made some plays. McLaurin made plays. They mentioned Dotson. They mentioned Zacchaeus.
Look, maybe he's offended. He's like, are you kidding me? I'm silly. I'm Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, but
Martavis Bryant. Yeah,
Martavis Bryant's had some years.
He hasn't played in the NFL. I know practice squad, but he hasn't played in regular season.
But he was playing in
2018.
Leagues. But he's been playing. It's not like he hadn't been playing football. He hadn't played at this level, but he's been playing football.
He has been playing football.
In Nubs leagues or whatever.
Yeah, the CFL.
What about Jahan doesn't want to play the slot? If they're trying to put Diami out onto the outside, Jahan played a little slot, but doesn't want to do it anymore.
Want to major in that.
Right.
Yeah. Could be. Taking a beating. It's like, I'm getting my ass beat in here.
Yeah, give that to one of the younger guys.
Give that to one of the 6th-round draft picks.
Yeah.
Could be. I'm telling you. Signs are pointing to Jahan. What do they call the evidence? It's not direct evidence.
Yeah, you know what? It's not math.
Circumstantial.
The circumstantial evidence pointing to Jahan.
It's not Mathis, because Mathis isn't out there enough. So there's no way you could say he's got exceptional talent. So I'm taking him off the board.
Well, he was a high draft pick.
He was a second round pick.
It could be Forbes.
Yeah. Could be Forbes.
I was going to say, defensive line doesn't seem like a moping position, too.
I can see them moping. Yeah.
No, I don't think D-line would be mopey.
Really?
No. I think the mopey positions would be...
Well, that's all. Receiver's a very glamour position. That's the one where you have the divas.
Yeah.
That's the one with the traditional divas.
Defensive backs could be mopey. Quarterbacks could be mopey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be offensive linemen, guys in the trenches. Yeah, I'm taking Mathis off the board.
All right.
Mathis is off the board.
Maybe it is Dotson.
All right, hold on. Somebody, let me see. I'm getting a DM. I wonder if this is... I just got to know. I can't tell. Oh, this guy went to, I'm not going to say who he is, but he was a Penn State guy. He says, Dotson was a great guy at Penn State, but I think he probably is moping. This is a Penn State guy. Interesting.
What?
He's the prime candidate.
I want to know what the exact body language was. Like, was it just head down, walking slow, like Charlie Brown? Was it like hands on hips?
I don't know, man.
But was it frustration?
Definitely jumped out to Brian Mitchell.
Right.
B. Mitch was not happy.
Brian, and by the way, Brian has the credibility to do this.
Of course.
Right, right.
Not everybody's wired like Brian Mitchell.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
800-636-1067 is the number. Remember, Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, joins us at 9 o'clock here on The Fan. Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. Earlier, we mentioned James Wood had a four-hit game for the Nationals. We'll talk to the GM, Mike Rizzo, coming up at 9 o'clock. I saw on social media, you know, it was somewhat of a thrill to make the major leagues, but to play in Baltimore because it was either his dad or his granddad used to take him to Orioles games because he grew up in Olney.
Mm-hmm.
So he grew up going to the Orioles game. So probably a thrill to play against, like I said, any team, but to play against Baltimore.
Oh, sure. Playing in Camden Yards.
That's where he grew up. That's where he learned the love of the game.
One of the most iconic stadiums in the game at this point. Right up there.
Big win yesterday, 9-3 over the Orioles.
Right.
So we'll talk to Riz in about half hour.
Right. All right. So I know Valdez he and Drabby have been putting their brains together. It's not quite bit season. I mean, we're heading into football season, but he wants us to do the Junkies hypotheticals here. And he's
always enjoyed hypotheticals.
He's come up with his own 7 or 8 different hypotheticals. Now, these aren't just like sort of out of nothing. These are kind of based on
topical
pop culture things that are going on in the world. Valdez, you'll sell this better than me. Valdez wanted me to present it, and I'm kind of pushing Valdez to do it because I think you'll sell it better.
All right. You are the superior talent, so that's why I wanted you to read these off.
No, that's fine. But this is your brand. This is your baby. Okay. So I feel like you should take over.
It's better if he doesn't know what the actual.
And I also think it's better for me to give an opinion. Yeah.
All right, all right. Me and Drab came up with some five hypotheticals.
And these
for you
are
guys.
All topical, right? Like based on kind of newsworthy kind of things.
Yeah, newsworthy things in the news. It can be sports related, pop culture related.
All right, nice.
All right, so
what is it? Is this Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music?
Yeah, your think music.
All right, good.
Okay. Hypothetical number one. All trades being equal.
All right.
The Commanders make a move for Brandon Ayuk. Or the Jets, Hassan Reddick. Defensive end, Hassan Reddick.
Mm. I would rather have Brandon Ayuk.
The package being the same.
It's not even close. Brandon Ayuk is younger.
I'll be honest with you. I'd rather have offense. I don't know as much about
Reddick. Has double-digit sacks every year.
Yeah, yeah, but he's going to want a big, fat contract.
So does Ayuk.
Yes.
Not as sexy.
But he's older. He's 29.
I personally would take Ayuk. Maybe that's a dumb football decision, but personally, I would take Ayuk.
Okay,
I would rather have Ayuk because I'd want offense.
I'd want the 80 catches and 8 touchdowns.
Telling EB during a break, I saw a report from Mike Garofolo, who I believe is with the NFL Network.
Mm-hmm.
He says that, and look, the decision hasn't been made, but he says Ayuk prefers to stay with the 49ers. So maybe he's mulling the extension that they gave him.
Maybe he's going to make one more little counter.
I think we'll find out today
what his decision is. Your boy Jerry Rice had some sort of cryptic tweet as well that you could read into Jerry Rice. But, I think we just spent a second speculating about whether Jahan Dotson is the moper. Could be Emmanuel Forbes. But Ayuk, I think, helps them more than Hassan Reddick.
All right,
and he's younger.
What's your next one? So we're 3-for-3. We all agree on that.
Okay. All right. You're Adam Peters.
All right. Good.
After training camp and one preseason game,
all right,
you can have any rookie quarterback you want. Do you keep Jaden Daniels or do you take anyone else?
I keep Jaden.
Caleb, May.
Nope.
This was pre-JJ news.
Nope.
JJ McCarthy news.
Nope.
But you got to see the look-see at every rookie quarterback so far. And they give you one buyback. Do you take it?
Nope.
Do you
I
want
love
anyone
my
else?
Guy.
I want Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams is going to be Patrick Mahomes-like, which is what people have said for years, and he flashed it in his first preseason game.
It's a hard question to answer because you're saying after one preseason game, but I was always a Drake May guy before the draft.
So you still want Drake May?
I mean, he only played 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be very good, but yeah. Caleb is intriguing based on how he played, but I'll say Drake May.
I saw an amazing, it's highlights, but it was an amazing pass from Drake May. Do they have a receiver named Polk?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Caleb May Polk. To Polk, like a 60-yard bomb dime in practice.
No, I like my guy.
But I think Caleb is, I mean, he's the real deal.
But
like
no
I don't,
way
I don't know.
Bickle
like
the gonna back off. Of
no, I'm not backing
JD.
Off. Like, no, I want a JD number one.
I think Caleb could end up throwing a bunch of interceptions. I don't know because he throws against his body and everything like that. But just in that little body of work in that preseason game, which the question is about the preseason game, he showed a little of everything.
And
like
camp,
the rollout to the
itself.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go Caleb.
All my money is on JD.
I had Drake May above.
Jaden,
but I had Caleb one.
It's hard.
So you had Drake May one.
I had May
boards.
The whole time, so I can't back off of it.
Yeah.
All right. This is in the news. Ellie King or L King is Rob Schneider's daughter.
All right.
She was on a podcast.
She's all pissed off at him, right?
She's pissed
dad.
Off at her dad. She said on the podcast that her dad sent her to fat camp as a kid.
All right.
So would you rather spend one day at a fat camp like L. King did as a child or 3 days at Dutch Wonderland with 3-year-old twins like Drab?
I think I would rather go to fat camp and learn some good dietary habits. Dutch Wonderland for 3 days is torture. I don't know what
I'm going to Dutch Wonderland with twins.
I'm going to Dutch Wonderland because you can get better snacks. Fat camp, you're not going to get food.
Yeah, you're not going to get anything. Yeah. They're going to starve
hurting
you.
Veggies.
You might
veggies.
Have a couple of rides. I'm guessing they're mini rides. Like I don't know if Dutch Wonderland is like how big it is. Well, I'm going to guess it's just my Pennsylvania bias. It's like half Hershey Park. I'll take a half Hershey Park with popcorn and snacks over Fat Camp. By the way, Rob Schneider in D.C. in 2 weeks. He's appearing at the Howard Theater August 31st.
I know Fat Camps have like a horrible connotation.
What's the big deal? I actually think it's responsible. If my kid was enormous, I would send my kid to Fat
this
Camp.
This is what it says here in the article from L. King. I was a really, 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 really heavy child.
Yeah.
My dad sent me to Fat Camp. It
That's
was
where
rough
you should have been.
I got in trouble. It's very toxic.
Whatever. Are you kidding? If my kid was obese, like legit obese, they're going to Fat Camp. And they're not going for a day.
All right.
100%. There's nothing wrong with that. That's being a responsible parent.
I will say, Rob Schneider, one of the most disappointing in-studio guests we've ever had.
I don't even remember him in studio. Oh,
he was so grumpy.
Was he boring?
He was so grumpy.
Was he boring? I can't remember. What?
Who's the one that went to the bathroom on us for a while?
Oh, that was the other guy on Saturday Night Live.
Chris Kattan.
Kattan. He was disappointing.
He probably went in there and who knows what he did in there.
Allegedly. Yeah.
This was about 8 years ago, and everyone was so jacked for Rob Schneider.
And he sucked? I don't remember him.
He was there, gun to his head.
Yeah.
That was like Ryan Key from... From Yellow Card.
This chick takes some shots at him, though. She says, my dad forgot every single one of my birthdays. She didn't talk to him for 4 or 5 years.
It doesn't sound great. What were you going to say?
She says, if I would ever spend a summer with my dad, it'd be on a movie set. I just got lost in the shuffle.
Right. Well, you're a big fatty.
Everyone go watch Heavyweights later today.
What is that?
Great movie. About kids at Fat Camp.
By the way, somebody was asking me about which Stag's Leap you want. You want the apostrophe before the S, right? I think that's the one you want.
I think it's...
Before the S.
I think it's after the S.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, I looked it up. I think it's before the S.
But there are two Stag's Leaps.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Hypothetical number four. All right. You have your dance moves televised worldwide a la Aussie breakdancer Ray Gunn, or swim 200 meters in the duty water of the Seine or Seine.
The Seine.
Ooh. Seine.
Yeah, the Seine River. All right, hold on. Repeat.
Didn't the Tonight Show make fun of the Australian
breaker? The whole country is making fun of her. The whole world.
It was so cringy,
I couldn't watch it.
So you're basically William Hung. No, that could become
well,
like...
Well, you could have silly dance moves, JP. Yeah. I'm just saying, you put up a...
I mean, I don't.
You put up a camera.
Yeah.
You video yourself dancing.
Yeah.
And you can break. You do whatever you want.
All right.
And then you got to post it to the internet. It goes viral. Everyone gets to see you dance.
Right.
Or 200 meters swimming in the duty water
means,
of the
Seine. That means you're going to vomit and everything?
I don't know.
No, I'll do the 200 meters. At least get some exercise out of
it.
Don't get joned on.
It's like swimming in the Potomac.
No, I believe three German swimmers are sick from it.
Yeah, I don't want to get sick, so I probably would do the bad break dancing.
Definitely don't want E. coli.
By the way, what was
200 meters is what, like 8 laps in the pool?
It's a long time.
But in a river, it would take a lot longer. I've been swimming lately. 8 laps
dirty
is
river?
10 minutes.
I don't want to be in a freaking dirty. You can't even.
Yeah, there's floaters.
Who knows what's in there?
Floaters hanging around.
Forget about the duty.
No, 200 meters is 4
laps. Alligator in there.
200 meters is 4
laps.
That's
in a 50 meter pool, but I'm saying the neighborhood pool is usually 25 meters. So it's back and forth.
That's a lot of swimming, dude. I'm not sized. I'll do the bad breakdancing.
I mean, you could actually probably do it.
But can I ask a question about the Australian breakdancing?
I'm doing the river.
I actually don't like...
I'm doing breaststroke with my head up the whole time.
I actually don't like cringe humor. It's just too uncomfortable for me. So I saw like 3 seconds of her and I changed it. Was it the worst you've ever seen?
Yes.
I mean... Why was she
embarrassed the nation?
Yeah.
Why was she eligible?
There was like no real breakdancing committee. Her and her husband were the head of the committee that sent people to the breakdancing Olympics from her country.
And she has a doctorate.
It was a sham contest to see who got to represent their country.
Okay, so it was rigged.
It was rigged.
Does she have any breakdancing ability? Like, could she do anything?
Ray gun?
Yes. Apparently, she has a PhD in...
Cultural dance.
I don't know, in hip-hop dance.
And so she just learned some quick routine and then showed up.
I think she's been doing it forever. Yeah. She's just horrible at it.
I mean, I did watch some of the good guys. They're insane.
Yeah.
They're insane. They're spinning on their heads and freaking holding themselves up in crazy positions.
Yeah, somehow they found a loophole.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened.
Yeah.
She does look like a fish flopping around.
Yeah, I mean, did she have any move where...
Did she look silly? No.
How did her competitor react? Was he like... Was he joning on her? Or?
It would be like if JP jumped in the pool and swam against
Michael
Caleb
Phelps.
Dressel or whatever his name is.
Yeah. All right.
It made a mockery of the Olympics.
When I see stuff that's super cringe, I don't like it. I have to change.
It was very, very awkward and cringe.
Yeah, I don't like that stuff.
All right, last one. A Manassas homeowner had a car smashed through her fence and bushes. The driver offered her $50,000 to not call the cops.
Right.
Would you take the money for that property damage or call the police?
All right, hold on.
Taking the money.
I don't know. How much is the property damage?
It's just a fence and a bush.
So the car smashed through the fence and bush.
I don't care about the bush.
If you're
I can fix
problem.
The fence for $10,000, let's just say.
The fence isn't going to cost us $50,000.
You can't make any kind of assessment. It's on the spot.
Fence is costing you $50,000.
It's 2 a.m. The guy gets out of the car.
Where is he going to get the $50,000? Show me the $50,000.
It's a very nice car. It looks like he would be good for it.
Here's the thing.
Well, wait a minute.
Show me the $50,000. If you've got the $50,000, I'll take it.
Well, he's not going to have the $50,000 right
there. Well, then how can I do this?
You're going to take his word for it.
Pull up your Wells Fargo account. Let me see if you got
Venmo
it.
Me $50,000.
Yeah.
Venmo me $50,000 by tomorrow. And by noon tomorrow, and then I won't call the cops. I'm taking the $50,000. 100%.
Yeah.
That's not even.
Hold on. So the guy did offer the $50,000?
Yeah, the guy got out of the car, offered the homeowner $50,000 to not call the police.
And the homeowner did what?
Called the police.
Okay.
Why did the guy didn't want a DWI or something? Is that what it was?
The accident happened like at 2 in the morning. It could be.
Oh, I'm sure that's what it was.
It could be drinking related. Could be bad driving related. Person has a lot of points on their license. Mm-hmm. Person's insurance premiums are through the roof.
Warrant out for their arrest, most likely, probably.
Warrant out for arrest?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so.
And that person's probably hammered. He's probably doesn't have 50.
So what you, okay. But he said it was a very nice car, Mike. So what if you just say, all right, I got your license plate.
He's car poor.
I'm gonna take a picture of your license, and if you Venmo me $50,000 by tomorrow, I will not call the cops.
Yeah, I'm taking a picture of your license plate and your license.
Right. But if I
see $50,000 in my Venmo,
but if
then
you don't,
you're good.
I am going to call the cops.
You guys are donks. You're not going to send $50,000 over Venmo. You're going to say, come back over with cash in a suitcase.
Well either way
it works.
Digitally tracked. You think
Uncle Sam's going to text.
Okay,
that's like
whatever. All right, cash.
Well, you got to be quick thinking here.
All right. Well, all right. So I don't know how a guy can get $50,000 in cash. How's a guy getting $50,000?
That's his problem.
Yeah, but I think it's an untenable problem.
I would
problem.
Take the $50,000 in cash.
I would take the Venmo.
Because,
personally.
Like JP said, it's not going to cost that much to replace a fence.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I don't care about what shenanigans that guy's involved in. But I'll take the $50,000. Hell yeah.
It could be dirty money.
Plus,
who
you can
cares?
Have a banged up fence for years. EB, I guarantee, still hasn't fixed the tops of his fence.
No,
you're still looking for people to install your lattice.
You know what Joe P told me to do? He said, just take them all off.
There you go. So, but I bet you still haven't done that.
I got to do that.
You won't.
It's a pain in the ass. But there aren't that many left. They're all falling down.
I remember Mike Rizzo joins us at 9 o'clock to talk some Nationals. We'll talk to the Nats GM then here on the Junkies. I just saw this story, and we've talked about snakes being a nightmare, potentially being in a toilet. I wish EB was here. He left, probably to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
Jeff Darlington, who covers the NFL, took a picture of his toilet. I don't know if he's traveling, covering training camp, and he had an iguana coming out. Wouldn't that freak you out?
Yeah, of course it would.
EB, you've always lamented like a nightmare for you would be a snake coming out of the toilet.
Yeah.
Jeff Darlington, is he with ESPN? Yeah, ESPN, NFL reporter, was in Florida, and this was what came out of his toilet.
An iguana? Why was the iguana in the sewer system?
I guess it's not entirely uncommon in Florida.
I'm guessing that's not where he lives. Maybe it was a hotel.
It says Jeff Darlington living in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, he does live in Fort Lauderdale.
Dude,
well, iguanas all over Florida.
That's crazy.
They're everywhere.
Iguanas single-handedly ruined my trip to Aruba.
Right, because they were all over the place.
The Marriott had them. They let them take over the freaking hotel. They were everywhere. You would lay down on your Chase Lounge or whatever, and they'd be crawling underneath you. How are you supposed to relax?
Do they tell you when you check in, hey, there are iguanas? Just
no,
let you
they're
know.
Like in the, it's like indoor-outdoor, like lobby thing. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. They're in the hotel. They're right. They're by the pool. They're everywhere. They're the worst.
We were at a resort in Puerto Rico, and I got, like, we're hanging out at the pool, and we all got food, but I didn't have a drink. And they were in, you know, styrofoam containers, and Jess is eating, I don't know, Kelsey's eating, and I went up to go get a drink. I came back, and this huge iguana, because they left mine open, my styrofoam container,
food?
Had gone there, and everybody scurried and just pummeled my food.
You mean your family got scared?
Yeah, the family scurried. And people around were like, what do you do? Apparently, Darlington picked up this iguana by the tail to get it out of the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what you do. We had a roommate in college who converted the closet into an iguana cage.
He loved it.
So I had an iguana living in the house with me.
Yeah, that guy was weird.
Was that the bait? That was a guy.
No, no, it was in.
I think his name was Al.
It was in the room.
Oh,
next to
Al, the tall dude.
Yeah, he was big into weed and, you know. Yeah. I don't know.
He moved in there after Everett.
Yeah.
I do remember him.
The sixth roommate. It was always tough to find that sixth roommate.
We had a lot of weird dudes.
It's a lot of turnover just to get like $150.
We had a guy down in the basement that was like, he was a big cyclist.
Yep.
He thought he was Lance Armstrong. And he would ride his bike and eat peanut butter.
He would sweat. That place would smell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But another guy was a big UConn fan. I can't remember that guy's name.
I think I'd moved out by then.
Yeah, I had so many dudes.
All at Norwich, right? Is that Norwich?
Yes.
4703.
What if the house has still got to be a rental?
Oh, definitely.
Got to still 100%. Be college kids.
And it looks the same.
Hey, so we may have Ian O'Connor on the show next week. I told Drab to see if he could book him. And actually, Drab, maybe you can speak on this. You'll like this, EB. He emailed back and said something nice about the Junkies, right, Drab?
Ian O'Connor did?
Well, I mean, yeah, he said, well, let me find
it. Is JP stretching it?
Why?
I said he said something nice.
Is he reading too much into it?
Yeah, I mean, I have Ian's email, so I asked him, because I watched Aaron Rodgers being interviewed by Boomer and Geo yesterday about the book.
Uh-huh.
And JP had said something about it as well. So I emailed him asking him to come on, and he said, yes, of course, I'd love to come on. I remember, and I know the Sports Junkies to be a quote, big time show. So thank you for the interest.
All right. Hey,
we'll take that.
All right. He'll come on Monday at 9 a.m.
Right. What is the book?
The book's about Aaron Rodgers. So here's Aaron Rodgers talking about his perception of the book on the Boomer and Geo show.
Can I ask a question before you play the audio? Does he trash Aaron Rodgers in the book? Is it unauthorized biography?
Well, that's what we listened to. That's Boomer's question.
Yeah, I mean, remember, this is where we got the info that supposedly the riff between the parents and Aaron Rodgers had to do with Olivia Munn talking about their sex life publicly.
Right.
So this Ian O'Connor book, was this an authorized or not authorized biography by you?
A rhetorical question.
Okay.
Is it not?
I guess. I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
I can't. I honestly swear to you, I was looking up this. I couldn't figure it out because there were quotes in there. So it looked like you gave your blessing. But then on the other hand, it looked like there was stuff in there that you didn't want to be in there. So I was confused. So I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to ask him as opposed to look up the answer on the internet.
He did a lot of research. It has nothing to do with me.
Right.
But he did a lot of research on his own. He's done other books with other famous people in sports. I think he reached out to 500 people and talked to maybe half those people. At the end, before, although he'd already written, I believe, a first draft, we had a conversation and sat down. It was more just kind of him asking a few things. A lot of the stuff that was in there, I mean, is 20 plus years old. And I commend him for the time he spent on it, but it's not a book that I... asked him to write for me. He wrote it on his own, and there'll be some interesting things in there that are perspective-based. There'll for sure be some stuff that's true. I mean, he wrote the first chapter, I believe, about my grandfather, which was pretty cool. I mean, he sent me a copy of the, there was a war.
All right, so he's not hostile to the book.
Doesn't sound like it.
O'Connor's thorough. he came on the show to, which book did he promote? Was it Belichick or his Coach K book?
I thought it was Belichick, but Drab.
He's done both, but the Coach K book was the last time he was on.
Yeah.
I think it didn't his like a kid die tragically? Like, I think so.
Ian O'Connor's?
Pretty sure.
Hmm.
Maybe like a suicide or depression or something. I think so.
Hmm.
I didn't know that. Could be making that up, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about that.
EB, little connection. Bachelor's degree from Marist College.
Oh, really?
And he was the commencement speaker at their graduate school ceremonies 2 years ago.
Was he? 2 years ago?
Graduate school ceremonies.
Oh, graduate school, yeah. Okay. I don't even think my son's going to go to the graduate school. If he finishes his degree, which he should this year, I don't think we're doing the graduate thing.
Not just a graduation?
Nah, just ship him.
He's not going to walk?
Just ship him the
not
diploma.
Put on the cap and gown?
I don't think he need to. I know he doesn't care. And those ceremonies are brutal. They're brutal.
Anyway, we will have Ian O'Connor on the show on Monday to talk about Aaron Rodgers.
I think Aaron comes off fairly complimentary towards a guy who's writing an unauthorized biography about him. He was even willing to sit down with him and talk to him a little bit and give him some background, it sounded like.
I think it'd be hard. Just from what I know of Ian O'Connor and like remembering, and Aaron refers to this, he's like one of those exhaustive research guys. So it's going to be hard to completely trash a guy who's doing 250 interviews and saying that he's just making stuff up.
I could see being resistant to a guy basically making a buck off me. And I have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I could be resentful.
But he did say that the first chapter was about his grandfather.
Which he thought was cool.
Which he liked.
Yeah, I know. I'd say he's being pretty cool about it. For all these people that think Aaron Rodgers
is a douchebag. I'm sure there'll be a lot of stuff on his political takes and
who knows?
The COVID stuff.
Hey, I made some bucks off you.
I know. I didn't really want you to do it.
I slid you guys bonuses.
Send me a few
you
bucks.
Made some cash.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, Mike Rizzo, Nats GM here on the Junkies. Just saw this story, and we've talked about snakes being a nightmare, potentially being in a toilet. I wish EB was here. He left, probably to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
Jeff Darlington, who covers the NFL, took a picture of his toilet. I don't know if he's traveling, covering training camp. And he had an iguana coming out. Wouldn't that freak you out?
Yeah, of course it would.
EB, you know how you've always lamented like a nightmare for you would be a snake coming out of the toilet?
Yeah.
Jeff Darlington, is he with ESPN? Yeah, ESPN, NFL reporter, was in Florida. And this was what came out of his toilet.
An iguana? Why was the iguana in the sewer system?
I guess it's not entirely uncommon in Florida.
I'm guessing that's not where he lives. Maybe it was a hotel.
It says Jeff Darlington living in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, he does live in Fort Lauderdale.
Dude,
well, iguanas are all over Florida.
That's crazy.
They're everywhere.
Iguanas single-handedly ruined my trip to Aruba.
Right, because they were all over the place.
The Marriott had them. They let them take over the freaking hotel. They were everywhere. You would lay down on your Chase Lounge or whatever, and they'd be crawling underneath you. How are you supposed to relax?
Do they tell you when you check in, hey, there are iguanas?
It's like indoor, outdoor, like lobby thing. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. They're in the hotel. They're by the pool. They're everywhere.
We were at a resort in Puerto Rico, and we're hanging out at the pool, and we all got food, but I didn't have a drink. And they were in, styrofoam containers. And Jess is eating. I don't know. Kelsey's eating. And I went up to go get a drink. I came back. And this huge iguana, because they left mine open, my styrofoam container,
food.
Had gone there. And everybody scurried and just pummeled my food.
You mean your family got scared?
Yeah, the family scurried. And people around were like, what do you do? Apparently, Darlington picked up this iguana by the tail to get it out of the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what you do. We had a roommate in college who converted the closet into an iguana cage.
He loved it.
So I had an iguana living in the house with me.
Yeah, that guy was weird.
Was that the base? That was a guy.
No, it was in.
I think his name was Al.
It was in the room.
Oh, I Al, the tall, yeah, tall, Al. Tall dude.
Yeah, he was big into weed and, I don't know.
He moved in there after Everett.
Yeah.
I do remember him. The sixth roommate.
It was always tough to find that sixth roommate.
We had a lot of weird dudes.
It's a lot of turnover just to get like $150.
We had a guy down in the basement that was like he was a big cyclist.
Yep.
He thought he was Lance Armstrong. And he would ride his bike and eat peanut butter.
He would sweat. That place would smell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But another guy was a big UConn fan. I can't remember that guy's name.
I think I'd moved out by then.
Yeah, I had so many dudes.
all at Norwich, right? Is that Norwich?
Yes.
4703.
What if that house has still got to be a rental?
Oh, definitely.
Got to still 100%. Be college kids.
And it looks the same.
Hey, so we may have Ian O'Connor on the show next week. I told Drab to see if he could book him. And actually, Drab, maybe you can speak on this. You'll like this, EB. He emailed back and said something nice about the Junkies, right, Drab?
Ian O'Connor did?
Well, I mean, yeah, he said, well, let me find
is
it.
Is JP here. Stretching it?
Why?
Is
no, JP I said he said something
much,
nice.
Is he reading too much into it?
Yeah, I mean, I have Ian's email, so I asked him, because I watched Aaron Rodgers being interviewed by Boomer and Geo yesterday about the book.
Uh-huh.
And JP had said something about it as well. So I emailed him asking him to come on, and he said, yes, of course, I'd love to come on. I remember, and I know the Sports Junkies to be a, quote, big-time show, so thank you for the interest.
All right. Hey,
we'll take that.
So all right, he'll come on Monday at 9 a.m.
Very cool. He's right. What is the book?
The book's about Aaron Rodgers. So here's Aaron Rodgers talking about his perception of the book on the Boomer and Geo show.
Can I ask a question before you play the audio? Does he trash Aaron Rodgers in the book? Is it unauthorized biography?
Well, that's what we listened to. That's Boomer's question.
Yeah, I mean, remember, this is where we got the info that supposedly the riff between the parents and Aaron Rodgers had to do with Olivia Munn talking about their sex life publicly.
Right.
So this Ian O'Connor book, was this an authorized or not authorized biography by you?
That's a rhetorical question.
Okay.
Is it not?
I guess. I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
I can't. I honestly swear to you, I was looking up this. I couldn't figure it out because there were quotes in there. So it looked like you gave your blessing. But then on the other hand, it looked like there was stuff in there that you didn't want to be in there. So I was confused. So I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to ask him as opposed to look up the answer on the internet.
He did a lot of research. It has nothing to do with me.
Right.
But he did a lot of research on his own. He's done other books with other famous people in sports. I think he reached out to 500 people and talked to maybe half those people. At the end, before, although he'd already written, I believe, a first draft, we had a conversation and sat down. It was more just kind of him asking a few things. A lot of the stuff that was in there, I mean, is 20-plus years old. And I commend him for the time he spent on it, but it's not a book that I... asked him to write for me. He wrote it on his own, and there'll be some interesting things in there that are perspective-based. There'll for sure be some stuff that's true. I mean, he wrote the first chapter, I believe, about my grandfather, which is pretty cool. I mean, he sent me a copy of the, there was a war.
All right, so he's not hostile to the book.
Doesn't sound like it.
O'Connor's thorough. He came on the show to, which book did he promote? Was it Belichick or his Coach K book?
I thought it was Belichick, but Drab.
He's done both, but the Coach K book was the last time he was on.
Yeah.
I think didn't his kid die tragically? Like, I think so.
Ian O'Connor's?
Pretty sure.
Hmm.
Maybe like a suicide or depression or something. I think so.
Hmm.
I didn't know that. Could be making that up, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about that.
EB. Little connection, bachelor's degree from Marist College.
Oh, really?
And he was the commencement speaker at their graduate school ceremonies 2 years ago.
Was he? 2 years ago?
Graduate school ceremonies.
Oh, graduate school, yeah. Okay. I don't even think my son's going to go to the graduate school. If he finishes his degree, which he should this year, I don't think we're doing the graduate thing.
Not a graduation?
Nah, just ship him.
He's not going to walk?
Just ship him the
not
diploma.
Put on the cap and gown?
I don't think you need to. I know he doesn't care. And those ceremonies are brutal. They're brutal.
Anyway, we will have Ian O'Connor on the show on Monday to talk about Aaron Rodgers.
I think Aaron comes off fairly complimentary towards a guy who's writing an unauthorized biography about him. He was even willing to sit down with him and talk to him a little bit and give him some background, it sounded like.
I think it'd be hard. Just from what I know of Ian O'Connor and like remembering, and Aaron refers to this, he's like one of those exhaustive research guys So it's going to be hard to completely trash a guy who's doing 250 interviews and saying that he's just making stuff up.
I could see, right, but right. I could see being resistant to a guy basically making a buck off me, and I, you know what I mean, I have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I could be resentful.
A little bit.
But he did say that the first chapter was about his grandfather.
Which he thought was cool.
Which he liked.
Yeah, I know. I'd say he's being pretty cool about it. All these people that think Aaron Rodgers
is a douchebag. I'm sure there'll be a lot of stuff on his political takes and
who knows?
The COVID stuff.
Hey, I made some bucks off you.
I know. I didn't really
slid you guys bonuses.
I didn't really want you to do it.
I slid you guys bonuses.
Send me a few
bucks. You made some cash.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, Mike Rizzo, Nats GM here on the Junkies.